Welcome to The Wrap, a weekly podcast covering women's sports news. Bez, what have we got around the grounds this week?
The Tillies pull through late in game one of the Olympic qualifiers. Tasmanian Tigers win their third WNCL title in a row. And the London Marathon will become the first major marathon event to award equal prize money for able-bodied and wheelchair athletes.
We love to see it.
So good.
For the key story, we're going to chat in a little bit more detail around the Football Australia report that came out last week that goes into a huge amount of detail about the Legacy 23 strategy that showed that the World Cup generated $1.32 billion of economic impact.
B.
Billion with a B. We love to see
and
it.
And why was that, Chloe?
Because you should invest in women's sport.
Carry on.
We're recording on Gadigal land. My name is Chloe Dalton and I'm joined every week on the show by my co-host, Bez. Let's take a look around the grounds.
In some cycling news, Gracie Hemstreet has made history at the Red Bull Hardline in Tasmania, becoming the first woman to complete the course ever. The Red Bull Hardline is the world's toughest mountain bike race where racers fly downhill at crazy speeds through the most technical terrain divided by huge gaps, massive drops, and a 70-foot sender. What do we think a sender is, Chloe?
I don't know. I'm looking forward to the messages we get from the genuine mountain bikers to explain it to us. But I reckon it's like there's a big jump where there's a gap coming up and you're like, you just got a sender.
Good. I'm here for it. Just sending it all the time, you are. The downhill race is an invite-only event for the most progressive mountain bikers in the world. Two women were invited to compete at the Hardline in Wales in 2022. But neither of them completed the course. I don't think they died or anything. They just didn't finish. This is the first time that women have qualified for the finals and ever completed the course. So amazing effort from Gracie.
How good. In football, game one of the Olympic qualifiers in Uzbekistan was not the most convincing performance from the Tillies, but a solid 3-0 victory puts the Aussies in a really strong position ahead of game two. It was a fairy tale return to the side for Michelle Heyman, who had retired from international football and was back in a Matilda shirt for the first time in 6 years.
Fairy tales.
Fairy tales, what dreams are made of. After a slow start from the Tillies, Heyman broke the nil-all deadlock in the 73rd minute and the floodgates swiftly opened. Mary Fowler was next to find the back of the net and Caitlin Ford made it 3-0 when she finished a perfect cross from Steph Catley. Wednesday is an almost sold-out match at Marvel Stadium to punch the Tillies' ticket to Paris. Bring it on.
Cricket. The Tassie Tigers have won a third WNCL title on the trot. So that's the 50-over game in the domestic side of the sport. Nicola Carey scored a crucial 111 from 135 balls to secure a 6-wicket win over Queensland in the final. The Tasmanians were chasing 249, but with Carey at the crease, it always looked under control. It's a bit of a dynasty developing down there in Tassie.
It's there's a few sports docos going on about teams that have created some dynasties. I reckon the Tassie Tigers should be up there shortly.
Love it.
In surfing, Molly Picklum, aka Pickles.
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 I love Pickles.
It's such a good nickname, isn't it?
I also love Pickles. Can we just talk about how much we love Pickles?
A lot.
A lot.
Salty, briny goodness.
So good.
She defended the real Pickles, defended her Sunset Beach title last week, defeating Hawaiian Betty Lou Sakura Johnson in the final. Picklum won the final and also earned the yellow jersey after the first two stops of the season. She surfed what was arguably the wave of the event in the semi-final, pulling into a huge wave and nailing a critical maneuver, which was duly awarded with a 9.67.
That was an epic wave.
Off the back of, was it only a week earlier that she scored the perfect 10 at Pipe?
Yeah.
She's in good form, isn't she?
And she's calling it too.
How good. Her reflection on the last few weeks in Hawaii was really pretty special. She said, we'll look back and realize how big this moment is and the push for women that we're doing right now. The next gen in surfing are here and they're doing some pretty mind-blowing things on the biggest waves in the world, aren't they, Bez?
It's very exciting. In some rugby union news, the Australian Sevens team missed out on the final in Vancouver, going down by 2 points, 21-19, to the French in the semi.
Oh, it was a bit of heartbreak watching this morning, wasn't it?
It was a rough watch. They looked absolutely cooked by the end of it.
Yeah, they did.
Such a punishing sport. And I think, so it was the first, it's the first final the Aussies will have missed this season.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, discipline is an issue. The team played much of the tournament short on squad members. They had two injuries leading up to the tournament. And then Madison Ashby got a red card in game one and missed four games. And then Tegan Levi also was just given a 4-game suspension. I think that was on review. I don't know if she was necessarily given a red card in the match. I think it was a judiciary review afterwards. Also suspended for for 4 games and both for high contact. So they're really going to have to look into their tackle height before stop 5 of the 7th Circuit, which takes place next weekend in Los Angeles.
In a bit of long distance athletics situation news, the London Marathon will become the first major marathon event to award equal prize money for able-bodied and wheelchair athletes. Australian legend and 2-time London Marathon champion Madison De Rosario, friend of TFAP, shared some poignant truths with media after the announcement. This quote was so good, Bez, wasn't it?
So good.
"We often say that sport is a mirror to society, but it can also be the starting point for much larger change, and that's what the London Marathon is doing here. This decision doesn't just affect the athletes lining up in London in April. It has an overflow effect to not just how every other event values athletes with a disability, but how we view the 15% of the global population living with disability. Sport has an enormous responsibility to community, and the London Marathon is at the forefront of doing that justice."
Mic drop.
That is straight fire from Maddie. That is, it's, yeah, we need to get that up on our socials because that is a seriously powerful statement, isn't it?
Intelligent, fact-based, just all the good things.
All the good things. So what it actually means, this change, is that wheelchair race winners will earn $55,000 when crossing the line. A massive well done to the organisers for leading the way in that space.
In basketball, the WNBL regular season has come to an end and the finals have been set. Heartbreakingly, the Sydney Flames season is over after losing 90-78 to the Townsville Fire in Townsville on Sunday night.
Oh, heartbreak.
I know.
They had a strong back end to the season. I thought they were going to get it done.
Just missed out. That loss saw them finish 5th just behind the Perth Lynx. More info on finals time and what to watch.
Let's take a look at the key story.
So some more football news. Last week, Football Australia unveiled a comprehensive post-tournament report on the Legacy 23 strategy, marking a significant milestone in the journey of Australian football. The report calls for continued investment and support to build on the success and momentum of the FIFA Women's World Cup in Australia and New Zealand 2023 and further elevate Australia's position on the global football arena.
Can you keep going? Because I'm bringing up the legacy document while we discuss this.
All right. So the World Cup was obviously, there was a lot of press about the World Cup was the first women's event to break even.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting when you talk about breaking even, there's a lot of major sporting events in the world that lose money. Most of them do.
Yeah.
I don't think an Olympics has broken even since Sydney 2000.
Is that really the last time it's done it?
That was the last one.
Wow.
I said that with a lot of authority that was based on just a gut feeling.
I back your gut feeling.
But I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that Sydney 2000 was the last Olympics to break even. So to have this Women's World Cup break even, it's a lot more monumental than it sounds. And not only that, the report stated that the economic impact to Australia was in the tune of $1.32 billion. And there's
huge, isn't it?
It is huge. And so there were some really important key takeaways, which I love a takeaway, but here are some of the most important ones. I love this. 2 million people attended the competition games in person, and they reckon 70% of the Australian population watched the tournament.
That is just a huge amount. And whenever I'm at an event or something these days and you ask, every single person puts up their hand. Maybe they feel the sense of peer pressure as well, but who are you, that 30%?
Yeah, who are the 30% people without televisions?
Must be. There were over 86,000 international visitors who attended the World Cup.
All spending good money in our cities.
Absolutely. Football Australia has unlocked more than $398 million in federal and state government funding for Legacy 23 related initiatives. I wanted to just touch on from the report that I took a while to bring up before. In the report, they actually talked about the investment gap. So talks about the fact that Football Australia is committed to working with all levels of government and other sporting codes to address the $2.9 billion gap in facility investment across Australia.
Huge, isn't it?
It's a really big gap, isn't it?
Obviously everyone that's playing any kind of community sport can see where there are huge deficiencies in our facilities.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking female changing rooms, female-friendly facilities in general. So that gap, like that, This legacy funding needs to really look at those kind of things.
Yeah, for sure. And we often talk about this statistic about 50% of girls dropping out of sport by the age of 17. When you rock up to play local sport, whatever code you're playing, if you don't have...
Getting change on the sideline?
Yeah.
Ever happened?
Oh, many times. Many, many times. Like, that can be a huge factor in deterring girls from continuing to play sport.
Massive. The Matildas generated, and this is a big one, a media value of $2.78 billion.
Huge.
Massive.
It's so huge.
I saw a quick glimpse of the ratings from Saturday night's game one qualifier.
Yeah.
Besides, I think, the two news, which are always rate first, Tilly's number three. So like Channel 9 and Channel 10 News or something with one and two, which love are that. Always the way.
Oh, don't love the news being
But no, yeah, you know, top of the ranks for everything else. And it just shows that the investment, like, look at that ROI.
It's so good. And I'm just on the continuing, I guess, on that coverage point, looking at the Instagram growth as well. They've had 335 million social media impressions. They gained 486,000 followers on Instagram. Like, that is just absolutely huge. An engagement rate of 7.5%, which doesn't sound like a huge amount, but in terms of comparing to industry standards, it's a very good engagement rate. Like, just stats all over the place.
All the stats. And this is a really interesting one that I think that sometimes we kind of lose sight of when we're talking about elite level sport. That visibility piece, the fact that young girls can see these athletes excelling on a massive stage. The tournament said to have decreased healthcare costs by $324 million due to increased physical activity in society. So that obviously that's a pretty, and it's an interesting stat how they actually come to that. But I'd say they must be looking at the amount of new registrations for young girls playing sport,
yeah,
and what kind of impact that has on someone's health.
Yeah, it's
I just
awesome,
love that.
Isn't it?
It's so important.
I feel like every time I'm down at the park doing my running at the moment, there is multiple young girls kicking the footy.
In Tilly shirts.
Yeah, it's the best. One of the cool things I think off the back of this is that Football Australia aiming to become the host of the Women's Asian Cup in 2026, which means we might have another chance to watch them multiple times on home soil. And you know what they say, Bez?
What do they say?
Invest in women's sport.
Invest.
Let's take a look at what to watch.
Game two of the Tillys Olympic qualifiers with Uzbekistan is this Wednesday night at a packed Marvel Stadium. I think there's only very limited tickets left. They did say it was sold out, but you know how they kind of tend to release
the old obstructed view kind of tickets
late in the piece. So if you haven't already, jump online and snatch those last few tickets up. Kickoff is 8 p.m. And if you can't be at the ground, make sure you tune in live on the 10 Network and Paramount Plus.
The Aussie Sevens have back-to-back tournaments in North America with their Los Angeles leg kicking off this weekend. Catch all the action live on Stan Sport.
And in some more football, the A-League women are back. And on Saturday, there will be an epic Sydney derby played. The Western Sydney Wanderers sit just outside the top six and will be desperate to beat Sydney FC, who are looking to shore up their spot in the top three. Kickoff is 5 p.m. at CommBank Stadium, and you can catch it live on 10 Play and Paramount Plus.
In basketball, the WNBL finals are set and they will see LJ Southside Flyers host the Melbourne Boomers on Wednesday at 7 p.m. in the Melbourne Sports Centre's Parkville.
Then on Thursday, the Townsville Fire will battle the Perth Lynx at 6 o'clock local time. So that's Queensland time, 7 o'clock everywhere else, at the Townsville Entertainment Centre. Both semifinals are best of three games series. So get out to those games. They will not disappoint you.
I like how you said 7 o'clock everywhere else, as in New South Wales, not in Perth, not in Adelaide.
Not in NT.
And that's the wrap.
Sorry for the rest of the states. I do love you.
Sending love if you don't live in Victoria or New South Wales, and we will see you next week.
Bye-bye.